Our first reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning with the 10th verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is found in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, beginning with the 23rd verse. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. Through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, because he is the owner of everything, but he is under a guardian and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman and born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his sons into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. For you are no longer a slave, but a son, then an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we desire and need to see you more clearly, who you are, what you have done. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our hearts, soften us, open our eyes and our minds to hear your word, receive your word, and to see who you are and what you have done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Over the past few weeks, we've been in the season of Advent. We've talked about Advent, this sense and this season of longing, of allowing the ache in our heart to direct itself to the coming King, to Jesus coming. It's a discipline, allowing our hearts to ache. But our ache points our hearts to our need for a Savior. So now we come to the season of Christmas. It's a season of celebration. So we can say, Merry Christmas. And it means more than just, hey, did you get good gifts? It means, he's the one who meets that ache. He is the one who fulfills our longing. And so we say, Merry Christmas. See, this is a season of rejoicing in Jesus coming. My daughter, who is 19 months, expresses her delight clearly. And it's a beautiful thing. She calls my mom Maymay, and so anytime Maymay's name comes up, she thinks we're going to see Maymay. She does what we started calling the Maymay dance. And I probably shouldn't do this, but it goes something like this. Maymay, you know, just can't contain herself. She is overjoyed. She rejoices, and she just lets that bubble forth. And it's a beautiful thing. Well, it's a season for us to do the Jesus dance, for us to let our joy come to the surface, for us to take deep delight in who he is and what he has done. But the reality is, right, Christmas was Friday, the day that we call Christmas most commonly in our culture. And I don't know about y'all, but for us, for our family, there was this, it's like, Christmas, this is going to be good, and then it's like, not quite what we wanted. You see, our culture, and in our minds, I believe, we have built up this day to be this thing that it can never be. And so, we make it, I remember as a kid, telling my parents, I really want a four-wheeler. All my four-wheelers, it would have been a really bad idea for them to give me. But I was like, I kind of obsessed over this thing for months leading up to it. And I said, Mom, Dad, a four-wheeler. And they, I don't know why, they never said no. And so this sort of expectation grew. Well, maybe, you know. Christmas arrives, and I open kind of the first present they gave me, and it was this little Hot Wheels four-wheeler. For a moment, I thought, that I open this and then I go outside, and then pretty quickly I realize no. But don't we all have some expectation? We see this in our kids of, I'm going to get the thing that's going to do it for me. And so they tear open presents and everything's open, and it's like, what's next? That's what Parker, our son, was doing that. Come on. And Ellen and I get in the car and we're like, be like this or like that. And it's like, well, we're kind of doing the same thing. We have these expectations. So maybe the expectation is a gift, or maybe it is, I want all of our family to be together in peace, and let's enjoy one another. Or maybe it's, the son or the daughter or the cousin or the relative is going to call, and we're going to connect. Or maybe we're going to get along. Or maybe this is going to be something it can't be. For my dad, it would be, maybe this pig that we've been barbecuing is going to be perfect. You know, whatever it is, we have these expectations. And we end up feeling disappointed because our expectations are never realistic and cannot be met by those things. But you see, if this is how we feel at Christmas, we're missing the deeper reality. We're missing the truth of this season. We're missing who Jesus is and what he's accomplished. There are three things that I want us to see about Jesus, and we're going to look at John chapter 1. So if you would open your Bibles to John 1. Three things about Jesus, and unfortunately, they all start with L. I swore to myself when I started preaching I would never do 3 points, and I would never allow them to start with the same letter. But here we are. It's like a gravitational pull. It's unavoidable for preachers, I guess. So they all start with L. The first thing I want us to see is Jesus is Lord. Listen to John 1, 1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, when we say Jesus is Lord, what we're saying is we recognize his power, we recognize his authority, we recognize his divinity. See, John tells us he was in the beginning. When John says the Word, he's referring to Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning. All things were made through him. As we read on through John 1, in verse 18, he says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So he's saying Jesus is in fact God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is himself God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So you see, the Word made flesh, the Word being truth, what is the true reality of God in the world? Jesus embodied, made flesh. So in Jesus, the truth is made clear. The truth is tangible. Truth, the Word made flesh. And so we see in the life, in what Jesus did, lived in his values, that he is revealing the nature and character of God. He is embodying God himself. So when we see Jesus, when we read about Jesus, when we read about who he is and what he's done, we see God's power, God's authority, God's supremacy, and God's compassion, and his might, and his glory, and his goodness, and his love. And because Jesus embodied these things, because he is the one and only Son of God, because of who he is, we can say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The second thing I want us to see is Jesus is life. John 1:4 says, "In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life." What do we mean when we say Jesus is life? If we think back to all, to Genesis 3 and what happened there, we see as Adam and Eve choose to eat of the fruit that God told them not to, sin enters the world. And with sin came death into the world. And so what we see Jesus doing, that Jesus brings life. He was the one who created life. He was there in the beginning at creation. Nothing was made apart from him. So he created life and he brings life and he embodies life. And so what that means for us is that Jesus has the power to set right what happened at the garden. Jesus has the power and the authority to set right what was lost at the fall. Jesus can do it. Jesus is the one who brings life. Jesus is life. He restores what was lost at the fall. He undoes the effects of sin. So if you turn over to Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved from the consequences of sin. You will be saved and brought into life, the life that Jesus brings." See, this life that we have in Jesus, eternal life without death. But it's also life in deep relationship with God, deep communion with God. What was lost at the fall is restored. The relationship that is broken is restored in Jesus. So the reality of life in Him is eternal, and it is in deep fellowship with the Father. Jesus is life. We also mean that in Jesus and by the work of the cross and His resurrection, we also have the capacity to overcome sin in our lives. So not only are we not held captive by the effects of sin, death, we're not held captive by sin itself. Through Jesus, through the blood, through walking in intimacy with the Father, we can overcome sin in our lives. It does not have a hold on us. Jesus is life. And Jesus is light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What do we mean when we say Jesus is light? As I said earlier, Jesus reveals what is true. In the darkness, you don't know what's there. You can't see. So you stumble. Shouldn't reveal this about our habits at our house, but particularly in really busy seasons like this, things get cluttered. Our bedroom now is like a minefield of Legos and toys and clothes, and so at night it's treacherous if you got to get up. That's the dark. That is the life apart from Jesus. It's treacherous. There are pitfalls. You may step on a Lego. It's painful. But Jesus is the light. He flips the switch on our lives that we see. We're able to navigate as we follow Him. We're able to navigate the pitfalls of life of sin as we follow Him. He gives the capacity to overcome sin in our lives. He makes the way clear. By His words, life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has revealed the way to live. If you turn to John 8, a few pages over. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We follow Jesus. The way He lived is an example for us. We follow, we walk in His footsteps. We seek to live as He lived. Now think about that for a moment. That the way to navigate life is not by getting more stuff. The way to navigate life, Jesus had no home. The way to navigate life is walking in community as Jesus walked in community. The way to navigate life is to have compassion on those who are in need. The way to navigate life is to love the unlovable. The way to navigate life is to be with the hurting. The way to navigate life is to live in utter dependence on the Father as Jesus did. Jesus shows the way. Jesus is the light. We also mean when we say Jesus is the light that Jesus has revealed what is true about the Father. In John 1:18 again, He says, no one has ever seen God, but Jesus has made Him known. God reveals who the Father is. God with flesh on. Jesus has made the Father known. So Jesus then is Lord, life, and light. Do you see who He is? Do you see the glory of who He is? Do you see what He has done for us? You see, Jesus has been given all authority because He is Lord to give us life and to show us how to live. He is the light. Do you see the goodness of who he is? Do you see that Jesus coming is an extravagant display of God's care for the world? It is an extravagant display of who he is. It's an extravagant display of God's care for us, for you, for me. Jesus, Lord, Creator, came into the world to make the Father known to a humanity who had rejected him. So what is our response? As we read on in John chapter 1, starting at verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. The world rejected him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We see this reality in our world today, that Jesus came into the world, and yet the world has not received him. We see this a little bit. We get bugged as Christians. We say, oh, why can't we just say Merry Christmas? Why would we say Merry Christmas? Why would the world say Merry Christmas? The world has rejected him. So, of course, they say Happy Holidays. Why would they say Merry Christmas when they don't know his goodness, when they don't know that he is Lord and life and light? But we who know him say Merry Christmas, because he is good. That was a tangent. So let's come back. So we then, what does it mean for us to receive and believe him? Because that's what he says in verse 12. That's what John says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name. These two words, receive and believe, are put next to each other, and they really are parallel terms. So really, it's there's a bit of a repetition here, but the two words together give a full meaning. And so what does it mean for us to receive and believe? What does it mean for us to respond to who Jesus is? Receive and believe. Let's start with receive. See, Jesus made the way known. He made the truth about God, about his character known. And so for us, as we see Jesus, as we know his life, as we know who he is and what he has done, to receive, it means to receive as a gift. It is a gift. He has done it. He has revealed it. And so we receive it as a gift. But this word, the Greek here, could be translated take hold of. The picture, maybe because of the time of year, it's football season. You think about a receiver. A receiver is not passive. Can you picture that? If he were just passive, he'd be bonked on the side of the head if it were the perfect pass. But there is a taking hold of this gift, of this truth. There is an active part. You see, Jesus has revealed what is true, and we cling to what he has made known. We cling to it. That longing that we felt in Advent, that leads us to this clinging to what is true, what is real, what is right, what he has revealed. And to believe. See, when we hear that word, we often think of belief as this mental assent that's sort of, yes, I believe his ways are right. Yes, okay, I believe. But you see, it's more than just this mental assent. If he is who he claims to be, then what is here, what is true here, what we can know with our minds penetrates our hearts. It is much more than a, yeah, I think that is true. It is, yes, I believe. It penetrates all of who we are. This belief is a whole belief, a full belief, all of who we are. If he is who he claims to be, we cannot simply say we believe and not be changed. Belief in Jesus means surrender to him. It is valuing what he values, loving those he loves, giving up what he has given up. Belief in Jesus is complete surrender. if He is Lord, light, and life, the more we believe, the more we surrender, the more we follow Him, the better our life is. And I don't mean this as some like trite saying in that life is going to be easy. You're going to get what you want. No, you're going to get much more than that. And it's much better. What He has is much better. We follow Him. What He has is a gift. It is life. And that life might be hard, but it is good. It is good. It is good to follow Him. We can want nothing more than what He has. It is best. Do you know that? Do you believe that? To believe that is to surrender. To believe that He is who He says He is to trust ourselves, our whole selves to Him. This is walking in the truth. Walking with the Word made flesh. Walking in the reality that He is Lord and we can trust Him with all of who we are. And this is the beauty of it. The result of us receiving and believing is that we become children of God. We become children of God. And so as we trust, as we surrender to Him, the good Father lavishes on us the life that He has. We become children of God. Do you know the delight that comes with being a child of God? Let's look at Galatians 4, our reading there this morning. Verses 4 to 6 say, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" You see, we have been adopted. We have received that which was not rightfully ours. By the work of God, He brought us into His family. We have been given an inheritance that did not belong to us. We have been adopted and brought into His family. So we are therefore His eternal kingdom. His eternal kingdom. The riches of His glory. Heirs to His kingdom. So the kingdom of the world, the four-wheelers of the world, the material stuff of the world falls away. And does not matter, because what His kingdom, the riches of His kingdom far outweigh the riches of the world. The delight that He takes in us far outweighs the approval of the world. To be His sons and daughters, what a glorious gift. What a glorious gift. And that gift is eternal. It is eternal. It is lasting. It's good, right? Do you feel it? It's good what He has done. The Spirit in us cries out, "Abba, Father." This Abba, Father. This Daddy, Father. This is an intimate expression. It is the picture of a son in a father's lap, or a daughter in a father's lap, going, "Daddy, Father." There's an intimacy in this expression. You see, through Jesus, we are restored to intimacy with the Father. What was lost at the garden has been set right through the cross, through Jesus' blood and resurrection. We are restored to intimacy with the Father. This Abba, Father, this cry of our hearts, this is the cry that Jesus made in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, weeping, broken before the Father, cries out, "Abba, Father." if there's any way, take this cup from me. Do you see that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has brought us into the intimacy that he has with the Father? We have been adopted as sons and daughters. You see, through Jesus, we have been given far more than we could ever earn or deserve. We have been given far more than the world offers. We have been given a gift, an inexpressible, great gift. You see, in this season, we see, we recognize, we rest, we find our hope in the reality that Jesus is the one gift that will always exceed our expectations. He is the one gift that brings lasting eternal life. He is the one gift that sets us from the curse of sin and death. He is the one gift that shows us how to live. He is the one gift that brings light into the darkness. He is the one gift that we can surrender ourselves to fully and trust in his goodness. When we receive and believe who he is and what he has done, we are adopted as children of God. Do you know who he is? Do you know his goodness? Are you clinging to him? Are you finding your hope in him? Are you walking in the truth that by faith you are a son or a daughter? Do you know that reality? And are you rejoicing in him? Are you taking delight in him? I want to give us a few minutes to reflect on the gift of Jesus, to reflect on who he is and what he has done. So Kip's gonna play some music. We're just gonna have a moment to pray, receive, to hear, to listen, to speak. This is your response. This is a chance for you to respond to who Jesus is. And then after that moment, we're going to have an opportunity to proclaim together who he is, what he has done, and who we are in him in the Nicene Creed. So let me pray as we enter into this time of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are good. Lord, move in us. Holy Spirit, move in us. Stir in us. Open our eyes to the deep, true reality of who you are. And let us walk in that reality. Come, Lord Jesus.